chapter 22, if you would. Matthew chapter 22. And you find your place, go ahead and stand, please, again. Matthew chapter 22 this morning. All right. You follow along as I read. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again thanking you so much for your love for us. I thank you for the songs that were sung this morning. I thank you for the special. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we come before you this morning, I pray again that the words I share will be the very words that you'd want us all to hear. Father, I pray we come prepared to hear so we can take this and apply it in our lives. Now, Father, I pray you'd have your way in this service, in the way and the words that I share, and we'll give you thanks. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, we're about ready to experience a wedding, and weddings are a big deal, aren't they? Especially in the Christian's life. Today, many people have mocked marriage and they've changed the idea of marriage and what it stands for. But we can go to the Bible and find out what marriage is all about. And it's an amazing thing that when two people get married in the sight of God and take those vows, the Bible teaches us they become one flesh. They're no longer those two individual people, but they become one. The bride is adorned with a beautiful wedding garment. The man is all decked out and his wedding apparel. It's usually, a lot of times, it's something they go to a store and rent. I know I rented my tux, as they said. And many people do that. Family and friends, they come dressed in their Sunday best to witness the wedding vows. And it changes a person's life forever. Both people that enter into this wedlock. Well, you know, that's true as for salvation as well. It changes our life forever, and it prepares us for a wedding that's going to take place. And this morning, Jesus is talking in a parable here. And a parable is something that means to come alongside. It has some material ideas in it that really speak to the spiritual side of it. And it helps us sometimes to understand these things. Now, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the chief priests, and he was talking to them about these things. And he was talking in parables, and he told us it was because so they wouldn't know, because they already had their opportunities. And this morning, as we look at this, we see that prior to this parable in chapter 22, Jesus had spoken two other parables, but it all began when they questioned Jesus in verse 23 of chapter 21, because he was speaking there in the temple. And they asked him some questions. A couple questions says, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus often responded with a question when someone questioned him, as he did with these chief priests and Pharisees here. And he asked them about John the Baptist. In other words, was it from heaven or of men? And they could not give an answer, because if they said of heaven, then why didn't they get baptized? If they said of men, they knew the people would take them because they believed John to be a prophet. So they were caught between a rock and a hard place. So Jesus wouldn't answer them, but he shared with them these three parables here. He talked about the two sons. He talked about the vineyard and his servants. Of course, speaking of Jesus Christ. But here he's talking about a marriage feast. And the particulars of this is dealing with the Jews for the most part. And he's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to them. And again, the religious crowd often were the ones who should have known better, were the ones who did not. But he began the parable in verse 1. He says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." So here he is comparing the kingdom of heaven to this marriage of this certain king. Now, it doesn't give specifics on this, and we can look at this and we can come to conclusions, or we can draw conclusions from this, like the king being God and the son being Jesus, and a marriage that's going to take place. And this marriage is going to happen, we don't know when. We don't know what the date of it is. Now, Michaela knows her date, and she knows her time. Do you know the minutes? Okay, well, I got my calculator. You're supposed to have it on the top of your head every minute you count that off. No. Anyway, it's an exciting time in her life. She'll probably know the minutes of the day of, probably, all the way through that day. But here we see in this situation, it's compared to being like the kingdom of heaven. That is, those who will be with God and spend eternity with Him, this marriage. In verse 3 he says, "And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." So here he's talking about some people that were already invited. They had the invitations. And he's calling them to come to the wedding, but they would not come. And he's speaking specifically to Israel, the Jewish people, because they were God's chosen people. They had the Word of God. They could go in and search the Scriptures and find out. They knew some things that were going to happen. They knew that there was going to be a marriage at some point. It was that idea of they were RSVP'd. Now, whether they sent the invitation back or not, I looked up that word because I really couldn't remember what RSVP means. Well, it's French. It's not English. I can't speak French either, but it means please respond in English. And they were sent this invitation, and they were expected to come to this wedding. I want you to take your Bibles and just head back to Isaiah for a second. Isaiah chapter 53. Again, we can see the notification, the idea that they have some understanding of these things that are going to come to pass. And it's clear here that in Isaiah, God gave Isaiah the vision and the understanding. Of course, Isaiah preached to those who would not see, those who would not hear. And yet he continued to share with him, with them. And in chapter 53 of Isaiah, we see clearly that these things are revealed to Israel. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And again, these are rhetorical questions. We know that this is revealed to those that of Israel. They're given to them. And it tells about what they're going to do and how they're going to respond to him in verses 2 through 5. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." You know, you think about, we in this society, in our world, what are we consumed with? What we look like. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we spend tons of money on trying to look a certain way. Jesus, there was no beauty in him. He didn't go and try to make himself up and to look like everybody else. He was different. There's a message in that. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Again, we have the rest of the story. We know this is exactly what the Jews did. Israel did to our Lord. And I did because of my sin. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the reason the situation is that we're in this, or have this problem today, in verse 6 it says, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We see in this parable, this wedding feast, these folks were bidden to come to this wedding. They had the invitation, and yet they didn't respond. They didn't come of the day of the wedding. They rejected this idea of this marriage. They rejected to honor the Son by not showing up. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're in the same condition as Israel is in this parable. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's none of us. And it's clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. Most of us in this room have heard this many times. And our garments today, if we're lost, Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's who we are today, lost without Christ. But Jesus Christ, he came for a purpose to take care of all that. And here we see that there's a wedding that's getting ready to take place. The king, a certain king, it says here, could be a king, had a son that he was going to have this marriage for. He sent the invitations out, but yet these people would not respond. There's a lot of people in that condition today that will not respond. And here they had the invitation. They had everything they need to know about this man Jesus. In verse 7 through 12, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. And Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the chief priest here, talking about a wedding that's going to happen. And he's talking to them, and maybe they understand, maybe they don't. But he's, in this parable, he's showing them, if you will, those who will not come to this feast, who have been invited. Turn back to Matthew chapter 22 for me. Matthew chapter 22. So they would not come. But here, this word servant, by the way, means slave. If you look it up, doulos. It's a slave. In verse 4 it says, and again he sent forth other servants, different servants, different slaves, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. So the feast is prepared. It's the day of the wedding. And he says, go tell them to come in. But see what happens in verse 5, it says, but they made light of it. In other words, they did not care. They chose to disregard the invitation. And it said, went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. So they went back to the things that they were doing. They went back to the cares of this world, if you will. Reminds me of the parable of the sower, where the seeds fell among the thorns. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, it says, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You remember in Matthew chapter 19 of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus had extended the invitation to him. Of course, he came to him, and when he bowed down, he called him master or rabbi. He knew, and he says that he was of God, and he knew this. And yet, Jesus explained to him, and he told him to keep the commandments. And the young man said, well, I've kept all those up from my youth. I've done that. And you could imagine his voice, and you can imagine maybe in his heart as he's talking to Jesus, there's hope. There's a glimmer of hope. Things are going to go good because I've done some good things. I've kept these commandments. And Jesus told him at the end of that, as the young man asked, he said, what lack I yet? And Jesus told him, says, go, sell, give to the poor. And then he said, come and follow me. And that's all he had to do, was relinquish the things that he had, his life that he was living, and give that all away, and then just turn from that and follow Jesus. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing for Christians today to understand that. But the Bible tells us, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now let me say this morning. He didn't have great possessions. His possessions had him. You see, he couldn't let go of that stuff. That had him tight, and he was stuck. This is exactly what's going on in Israel and their situation here as Jesus is teaching them or sharing this parable to them, these stiff-necked, learned, religious people. But look what happens in verse 6. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now, I think this has prophetic implications as well as the past. We know they mistreated the prophets, Moses and the prophets. Moses had a hard time with those stiff-necked people all the time. They were always coming to him and complaining and groaning and moaning, God's not doing this. And they never said it that way necessarily. But that's exactly what they were doing. It says, God in heaven, he's not able to provide. He's not able to take care of us. And other prophets came and shared the word of God, and they wouldn't listen. They locked up Jeremiah and others. But also it has implications for prophetic statements or the future. You remember Paul and his situation. Turn to 2 Corinthians for a second. Held your place there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Everybody knows where we're going. Paul, as he's talking or writing the letter to the Corinthians here, he shares some things in his life that have taken place. And again, as a servant, and Paul himself, he called himself a bond servant. He called himself a doulos. He said, I am a slave to Christ. And this man knew what it was to be a slave to Christ. And this is what happened, just as Jesus is speaking in this parable of the servants who have been beaten and some have been killed. Here Paul writes in verse 24, he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. I'm trying to think about all the suffering and pain that I've been through. how I ache and how things hurt me and I can't do this and that. And you know how many times I've been beaten with 40 stripes? Zero. I cannot even imagine. Thrice was I beaten with rods. I think one beaten with a rod would be about enough. He says, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And so Paul is talking about what he has experienced for the cause of Christ. And in this parable, this wedding that's going to take place, and it's still future, it hasn't come to fruition yet, the Jews have rejected the gospel. They have rejected this opportunity for them to come and be invited to this collectively as a nation, not individually, of course. You remember Stephen when he preached the Word of God? The first message he preached? Remember what happened to Stephen? That's right. They stoned him. Lord, lay not this charge to them, he said. So we see in this parable, these things have already come to pass to some degree. And they're still going to be coming to pass because we're not there yet. We're not actually at the wedding, although it's ready. The wedding is prepared. It could happen any moment. But you have to accept and receive the invitation. Look what happens. In verse 7 says, but when the king heard therefore of, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. This could also have the implication of Titus destroying the temple in 70 AD. In verse 8 says, but then saith he to his servants, those that his servants, his slaves, if you will, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. I wonder how Michaela would feel if you were having your wedding on Saturday and nobody showed up. You what? You said you're going to beat mom up? Oh, I'm sorry. It won't happen. I'm sure I'll be there and I'm sure everybody in this room will be there, no doubt. Anyway, but that's what's going on here in this situation is there's no people coming. Nobody to honor the son. It's all ready. The guests have been invited. The chief priests and the Pharisees and Israel have rejected the invitation. They're not worthy, it says. And they had ample opportunity. Ample opportunity. They still have opportunity today. And they will still have opportunity later for those who have never heard the gospel. You remember when Jesus came in John chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible teaches us he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's exactly what's going to happen here. He came to his own and his own said, no, we don't want the invitation. We're not coming. You're on your own. And in verse 9, the king says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Go get some folks and bring them in. Invite them. How important is that? The door's been open for everybody in John chapter 3. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How important is it? The wedding's ready, but there are no guests. In Acts chapter 28, verses 26 through 28, Paul, in this idea, he says, saying, he's telling about his testimony. He says, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, the Jews, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it, because of the rejection of the invitation that was given to Israel. And the king instructed and said, go ye. Whoa, important words. He said, and bid as many as you can find. Go get them. In verse 10, so those servants obeyed. It says, went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. They went out and they invited everybody. Everybody come, you know. And people came. People came. So they had a wedding full of guests. Maybe some were Jews, I doubt it. But I believe these are the Gentiles, as this parable is alluding to. And then the king, in verse 11, came in to see the guest. And he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless, had nothing to answer, there was nothing to say. Now back in the old days, I've read different articles that say when a king or someone like that would have a big feast or a wedding, they would often provide the wedding garment when people came into the wedding. What the wedding garment was, believe it or not, is a robe. So if you want to go to the wedding that we're all looking forward to, those that know Christ, you got to come with a robe. You don't get to pick and choose what you want to wear. God's already determined that. And it's a robe. But that's what's going on here. So these people come in and there's a man who didn't either accept the wedding garment or came off the street and was wearing whatever he had on. And the king says, you can't come unless you got the wedding garment. You can't stay unless you have the wedding garment. And as we see this parable unfold, we see exactly what's taking place here. Is that without that wedding garment, without the acceptance of the invitation and trusting Christ as your Savior, you can never have that wedding garment. Because that wedding garment represents being clothed in righteousness. And that righteousness only comes through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. So what happens in verse 13 and 14? We see the judgment. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is said many times in the Bible about this weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verse 14 he says, for many are called, but few are chosen. This morning there's a call that goes out. There's an invitation that is being given to everybody in this room. And everybody in this room is going to have to make a decision on what they do with that invitation. Some will probably look at it and say, oh, that's pretty neat, but I got other things to do. There's a lot more going on in my life. I don't have time to go to this wedding. And the life and the cares of this world, they have me. There are going to be people that look at that and say, well, I'll try to make it. Maybe I can make it. Maybe it'll happen. And there'll be some that says, yes, count on me. I'll be there. And here we see that the call is out for anybody. We know the main truths of this parable. He talks about that the kingdom of heaven is like a king which made a marriage for a son. I believe that's talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the preparation has already been done for this wedding. It doesn't really talk about the bride in this at all, because it's a parable about Israel and the Gentiles and the wedding and having on the right clothes to go to the wedding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul was sharing with them in the letter, says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." The feast is ready. It is prepared. The wedding day is coming up. We don't know when it is yet. Only God does. But as I look at this parable, stretching this a little bit, the king had servants. Today, I want to apply the fact that those servants are born-again Christians. Those who know Christ as their Savior. That have put their faith and trust in Jesus and have a Spirit of God that resides in them. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And so as we see in this parable, what did the king tell those servants to do? Not once, not twice, but three times he told them. Maybe he didn't use the words, but he said, "Go ye," at least once. And we know that as Christians that we are given a mandate, because today we know there's a wedding that's being prepared. We know that there's a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, and that's going to be the day when judgment starts. There are going to be people cast in outer darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. The invitation is extended to all, but all will not accept it. Accept it. But how shall they know without a preacher? Who's going to tell them if the Christians don't tell them? Is the world going to tell them? Is the devil going to tell them? So if I don't tell them and you don't tell them as born-again Christians, how shall they know? And what do they need to hear? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So there's a mandate given to Christians today that live on this earth. This parable, as we look at it, the king says, "Go, go, go." We don't quit. We don't give up. We invite who? Everybody to the wedding. That's a big job. A big job. We see several places that speaks of that in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Jesus told his disciples. Before I share that verse, we just got to ask ourselves, am I a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You either are or you're not. But his disciples, he told them to do this. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He said, go. Make disciples. How do you make disciples? The Word of God. Being able, as we're studying Sunday school, to be able to discern what the Word of God teaches, knowing what you believe, knowing the doctrine, so you can help somebody else. Apologetics. Being able to defend your faith. Why do you believe what you believe? If you can learn to do that, then you can share it with somebody else and you can point them to Jesus in the Word. My words don't mean a whole lot, but God's words are powerful. Amen? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16, he says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to some of those people out there." I believe he said every creature. "He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Acts 1:8, Jesus was telling them to go into Jerusalem, and after that they would be baptized, not with water, but with the Spirit of God. And he told them this, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now that's a play on words. Your power comes after receiving the Holy Ghost, okay? And then what did he say that would happen? Those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, those who have received the Holy Ghost, he said this would be something that would happen. He says, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. So when we get saved, that's exactly what God has called all of us to do as disciples, is to be witnesses. And we can try to live a Christian life and try to lead people to the Lord, and that's fine, but they need the Word of God. They don't need my words, they need the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what convicts. It gives us the challenge and gives us the understanding of what we need to know. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Be a witness. Tell them about Jesus. Why? Because now you've got something living inside of you that's going to guide and direct you into this whole thing, that you're going to know that there's something different about you, and they will too. And it's through the Word of God. He told them to go in the highways. Not everyone has the wedding garment. We've already mentioned this garment is a robe of white. So what can we do about this? We can help people see Jesus Christ. We can see Jesus in us. There's songs about that, and you need to be careful of those people who sing in those songs, because I think some of that music's not real good. But they can see Jesus in us. But my Bible doesn't say seeing Jesus in you is going to save me. It's the Word of God. You cannot escape the Word of God. As a Christian, you ought to have a desire to get in there and thirst after and hunger after righteousness. Why? So you'll know what God wants you to do in your life and the steps He has ordered for you. He's called us all to be witnesses, all to tell about Him, but He might tell us that we're supposed to go to a different place. There may be something else we're supposed to do other than maybe just Stratton, maybe somewhere else. It may be to tell us to go to our neighbor. Hi, neighbor! And sit down and talk to him about Jesus. This morning, if you're here lost, the Bible tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth man believeth unto righteousness. You have to have the robe of righteousness on. And how important is that? Everybody's going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse that I recall the night I got saved, because the preacher said it, and it spoke to me like a brick, tons laid on my heart. Because I was one of these. In Revelation 21, he said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that night when I heard those words, I readily admitted that I was a liar, and I could have admitted more. And that was the first time I saw that I was lost without a Savior. And I asked Jesus to save me. And I'm ready and waiting for the wedding. But is that what I'm supposed to be doing? No. But that's what a lot of us do, isn't it? We wait for the wedding. It's coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, I would like to say that every day. But He told us to do something. And that's the thing that is convicting. How poorly I've done that in my life. And how important it is. Because this life is just a flicker, and it's over. And I'm not taking anything in my garage with me. It ain't coming. Somebody else is going to have to deal with that junk. It'll be their burden. But only those people that we have the opportunity to invite and that will accept the invitation and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Which is more important? What the world has to offer, all the goods and junk I got at my house, all the money that I got in my bank account, which is not that much, Which is more important? I believe it's those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He told them to go ye into the highways. The wedding day is coming. Do you have the wedding garment? If you don't, I beg with you, I plead with you this morning, that after this service is over, that you come see me or somebody else you think knows, maybe your parent, and ask them how you can be saved. Maybe you're an adult. I was 32 when I got saved, living as a Christian for 3 years in a church, doing a lot of things that Christians do, but never had the Spirit because I wasn't a Christian. It can happen. There are a lot of phonies in this world. If a person can't live as a Christian in a church all their life, think about this and get away with it. It doesn't make sense to me, because Satan, who is so subtle, can come in and he can fool Eve real quick. And she walked with God in the garden. How easy can we fool ourselves thinking we're okay when we're not? Make sure you know today you got the wedding garment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to realize the need that as we're living in this world, it is not going the direction that we know that we would like as Christians. But we also know that you have a plan and it's perfect. Father, help us to be involved in that plan, just as your servants in this parable were told to go, to bid those people in the highways, to tell them, to invite them, Father, that they could have the wedding garment. I pray now you just bless each one of us, Father. Strengthen us. If anybody's lost in this room today, I pray they would come see me after this service and say, Pastor, I really would like to be saved. Can you show me in the Word of God? Father, have your way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.